Blog Talk Radio.
In the microphone with what she knows children's heart. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge back to you tonight with another installment of The Messenger. The Messenger is a podcast where Messenger Rondaya speaks to us and advises and gives us guidance on who we are and whose we are. The brother's message is very simple. It is very direct. In fact, the messenger's message is so simple that people tend to overlook it because people want to say that there is no way humanly possible it can be that easy connecting with God the Father. And I am here as a witness to tell you that this is very real. And your Bible even tells you it's so simple that a fool can't mess it up. Hey, on that note, Brother Messenger, how are we doing this evening?
I'm blessed, my brother. I'm blessed.
Nurse Carmen, how are we doing this evening?
I'm great, thank you.
Okay, we got the cast here. And one last night's podcast, we had a lot of technical difficulties with. So a lot of that you're going to hear remixed tonight. But one thing I would like to say to the podcast audience, the messenger comes to us Thursday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night at 11 p.m. I promise you, if you log into Blog Talk or on Facebook and follow the podcast, I guarantee you, it's going to be good food for your soul. And again, the teachings, again, it's a little different probably from what most of you have been exposed to. But if you would just listen to it and think about it, I guarantee you'll pay it a lot more attention, Hey, Brother Messenger, how's your day going?
Good, good, good. I thank you for those words, and they're very profound, and it is something that we need to take heed to with regards to this message. It may sound different, but I want to assure you it is the exact same message that the messenger Jesus left with us. It is the exact same thing. It's just looking at it from a different point of view than that view that they taught us all these years that it was supposed to be.
And when I say it's so simple, and this is the part where people, I guess, I don't want to sound presumptuous or anything, but this is the part where people don't understand. Even if you don't get it, you aren't going to get it. And I'm going to say that again. Even if you don't get it, you are going to get it. Because there's some things, we can talk free will, we can talk whatever it is that you want to talk. But God being in each and every one of us tells me that you can't stop from getting it.
You are so correct, my brother. And it's not a question of if you're going to get it, because like you said, you're going to get it. The question is when. That is the question, when. It also says, it says in the book, it says that they said it in a way that is a little off, but it has that meaning. And this is what I meant by the fact that we've got to look at things in a different manner. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, all that bowing and stuff of that nature, you don't have to bow. You're only bowing to yourself, but you will come to understand just who you are. You can't get around it. It's part of the design. It's part of the plan when he created all of this from the beginning. It's part of the plan. And his plan cannot go wrong. In spite of what they tell you as far as a devil or somebody coming in and changing God's plan, it's just not so. And we've got to understand that and think more of God than what we do. We can't call him God all everything and then expose so many weaknesses or flaws that he has. If he has all of those weaknesses and flaws that we want to read about and think about, then how can he be God? And I say he just in the terminology that we use because we know that God is a spirit. So it's not a he. It's not a he, but it can be a he. It's not a she, but it can be a she. It is everything.
Yeah, and that is so true, brother. You know, and a lot of times it's so funny that on one hand, you're right, we talk about the magnificence of God, the everything that God has. In fact, when you say God, that's the same thing as saying everything. But yet we limit him. But yet we show situations in the book where he didn't like what he did. When I say he, I am talking about a deity. I don't know any other way to actually address it. We'll say the deity didn't like what the deity did. So they wipe the whole earth out, and then we start over. I mean, and if you stop and just think about that and it's and as a concept, that is just absolutely crazy. If I can put the world together in 6 days, I can change the thought and the process of mankind without destroying everybody. And again, when we start talking about, the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, places like this, you know, and the book tells you everybody was lost. Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody, if you look when they were running away, if you turn back and look, you got lost also. The flood, we drowned everybody and he took a family and two of everything on this ship because I'm killing everything and I'm going to start over. All I'm saying to you is stories on that level or that type or that magnitude, you really have to look at it, and if you look at it and think about it with a little bit of the common sense you've been blessed with, you would dismiss that.
And another thing that we have to be mindful of is we should. It tells us that God is our best friend. He's a mother to us. He's a father to us. But then we, in such reverence of him, even though he's our best friend, that we can't even ask him a question. We can't even question anything. The only thing we want to question is why did he do something that he didn't do? We don't have a problem with questioning that. Why don't we question ourselves? Why is it that it's him that's doing it? If he's full of love, and forgiveness, why do we think he would do such things? And if it isn't him that's doing it, it can only be us. So we have to examine ourselves, and we don't think it's us because, once again, we don't realize the power and who we are. But we have that same power.
Yes, we do have that power, brother. And you know, that leads me right into the concept of being blessed. Again, we all say, God bless you, blessing. When being blessed, how would you describe being blessed, Brother Messenger?
Being blessed is just realizing who we are. Because what we understand that being blessed is if you walk in the godness of who you are. And you have to understand what I mean by that when I say walk in the godness. When I say walk in the godness, you got to understand walking in the godness is not carrying your Bible, quoting scriptures from the Bible. That's not walking in the godness. Walking in the godness is being true to who you are. Living your life so that with your life you are shedding love, joy, hope. That's walking in the godness. And sometimes I think we get afraid because of the fact that we think we're going to become quote unquote like Jesus, and we're not really ready for that. We're not really ready to be quote unquote about God's business.
Yeah, that's I like that better, you know, because again, we are already like Jesus. We have no choice in that matter. We're like Jesus. But only go ahead.
Yeah, we are already identical to Jesus. It's just that we don't know it yet. And because of the way they've got Jesus' life described to us, we think that there is only one way to walk this path. And that's what I meant when I said we are afraid we're going to be like Jesus. That all we could do is quote scriptures. And this is the big misconception that we have when it's regarding this life that we're here to create. Your free will is to create the life that you choose that is going to bring love, joy, and harmony to whoever you, first of all, to yourself and to whoever it is that you come in contact with. Because we are blessed, we say be blessed, but we have to understand that we are blessings, and we are blessings one to another. And that blessing one to another is through the God that is within us. And that's too powerful for some people, so we can break it down, even though it means the same, through the Christ that is in us. And just to show you how kind of silly we are with this, it's all right for us to say the Christ in us, but it's difficult for us to say the God in us, even though Jesus said that me and the Father are one. So if Jesus and God are one, then why is it so hard for us to say the God in us?
Because we've just been trained, and our mind is conditioned to say the Christ in us. And if you ask them about the Christ in you, I like to personally think the God in me. Because if I am the same as Jesus, and you know, and I'll probably continue to say this, don't look at me crazy because I say to you that Jesus and I are the same. I say that to you, and as soon as I fully tap into my direct connect with the Father, then I too will perform the same miracles that Jesus did. Again,
that is correct.
When I understand my direct connect. So when you hear me say I am the same as Jesus, I say that when God looks at Jesus and God looks at Brother Kenny, all God sees or feels or however the deity absorbs us is two of his children. That's what I'm saying.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, you know
what? I know you're about to change it, but what he doesn't see two of his children. What he sees is himself. Because truthfully, when we really get down to it, I don't want to give them too much meat right now, but when you look down it and when you really look into it, it's not his children. We just use that concept for the vernacular that we're able to understand. But we're not two of his children. We are a part of him. The same way Jesus said that him and the Father are one. So when God sees Jesus, per se, he doesn't see his child, he sees himself. Because that's all it is God. But I understand the concept of what you're saying.
You know what? I want to take a little moment right here, and again, like I tell people, I'm breaking away from a 50-year journey that I've been on, understanding Christianity and going to church.
So am I.
But I'm going to borrow a piece of that right now, because I have a selection that I want to play right now. I want to play a song in the middle of our podcast. And this is a song by T.I. and I think Charlie Wilson. It's called I'm Blessed. So right now, we're going to have a little interlude. Listen to the song.
Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like
Yeah, I just had to cut that in there. I heard that song the other day, and you know, it's so funny that I listened to that song and it's got like a totally different meaning to me than probably what they're even singing about. In the beginning, he opens up with this devil thing, and yeah, I just missed that whole part. But when I say I'm blessed, it's because my limited connection, and again, it's limited because I limit it because I haven't made the 100% commitment. I'm at 90% right now, but I'm blessed because I understand that God is in me, and I understand that a lot of situations, man, that I stress about, there is absolutely no need to. That's what I call really being blessed. So I appreciate Brother T.I. and Brother Charlie Wilson.
One of the things, if you remember from some of our other messages, is something that I've said that people aren't mindful of, and what that is that God can speak to us through any avenue he so see fit. But because we're so accustomed to think that the only way we can hear from God is through a preacher or through a religious song, we think that's the only way that we can hear from God. But that is not true. God, being everything, can reach you through any means he chooses to. And so this is why we have to always be in tune so that we can hear it. And you being able to take that song and hear its deeper meaning, the same way that the Bible and the spiritual songs, they have deeper meanings and they have some true facts to them, but we don't hear them as they should be heard. So yes, Charlie Wilson, that was an inspiration from God, from the God within them. They created that song from the God within them, recognizing how blessed that we are. You cannot be anything but blessed because of who you are. And if we stop looking at everything as being bad, we will be able to understand just how blessed we are. We take everything for being bad. We can be late at something and consider it bad, not realizing what could have transpired if we would have been on time. And I'm just using that as an example. Sometimes we're late, and we're late for a reason. But we won't accept that because, oh, I should have been there on time. No, if you should have been there on time, you might not have made it there at all. So we've got to take every situation and see the good in it. And the part that wasn't good for us, we don't have to label it bad. We just label it as something that we did not want. So because it's something that we did not want, we change from that and go on to something else. It doesn't necessarily make it bad. We consider, and just using the lateness analogy, we consider being late bad. Well, not everybody, but we consider late being bad. But then they turn that to some people consider late being a statement per se. So see how once again something that we're looking at as bad, somebody's considering it good. So why do we have to label things? If we can just get out of the habit of labeling everything good or bad, right or wrong, and start seeing things in its fullness, then we will be able to truly see God at work. But we can't see God at work when we're already directing it and determining already that it wasn't pleasing in the eyesight of God. You can't. Part of our problem is we can't really get to know God because we already think we know him. And because we already think we know him, nobody else can't tell us anything else about him. So you can't get to know something because you think you already know it. And that's our problem. We're not allowing God to reveal himself to us in the truest form. because we already know when God show up, everything is just magnified and to that nature. And so if it isn't something magnificent out of the norm, we don't think it's God. And a lot of times we have the tendency to say that God woke us up this morning, but half the people think it was that alarm clock that they had. But we say it was God that woke us up this morning, not realizing how true that is. It is the God in us that said, okay, it's time to get up and create another special day. I've got work to do, so come on, let's get on up and let's start doing the work. And the work is just creating and making it the best that you can be. And just think if we all started applying ourselves to trying to create the best life, and all we got to do is think about ourselves. And this will come to you a little later on. But when you start creating the best life you can, that doesn't even mean for your kids. That doesn't even mean for your husband or your spouse. It doesn't. It means for yourself. And as you create the best life for yourself, then you'll be able to let them feel or be a part of the blessing. But it is for you to do the best life for yourself. And if your child or the spouse does not agree with you and they want to choose a different path, and that's where the love has to come in, where you allow them to do that because they have that same God in them. And this is one of the reasons why we look at this marriage thing in such a wrong way. And it is totally possible, and it's been proven. When you're 21 years old, you look at life and everything totally different than you do at 45 years old. So if I'm with a spouse at 21 and we're together at 45, 20 years later, of course there's going to be some things, and not for everybody, but there's going to be some things that we start drifting in different paths. And that is not a bad thing. Is not something to be frowned upon. You can go your way. You go your way in love, and I go my way in love. And do you really think God has a problem with that? Or do you think he wants you to stay together, both of you miserable together, but because we joined ourselves together at 21 when we didn't know nothing, anything, and we joined ourselves together, now he want us to just stay here through all the misery? That's just not intelligent of us. And I'm not advocating divorce. I'm not advocating any of that stuff. I just want us to see how it is that we're looking at things so blindly because of what people have told us instead of what it is that God is revealing to us.
Well, sometimes we can't even get to what God is revealing because we have so many blockages, so much blockage up about what we already perceive.
Well, that's correct. That's what I meant when I said we can't know God because we think we already know him.
Well, you know, I think that the ministry is very important in today's environment. And again, most folks are becoming disillusioned with this whole concept of church. And what I like about the ministry, and as we try to get it deeper and into more ears, is I want it to be, and again, for the folks who don't go to church, I tell you, there is no need to go to church. Now, you can go if that's what you want to do, but there's no need for that. But I want you to understand that because you don't go to church, that doesn't mean you've already accepted that your life is your end result is going to be in hell. This is what I really want this message to put out to people. If you don't go to church, if you don't patronize that minister who requests your donations two or three times during the service so that he can live a whole lot better than you are ever going to live. If you don't subscribe to that, I'm here to tell you that you're still going to get into the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to understand that by not subscribing to the status quo, don't look at your life as, well, I ain't going to church, so I'm going to hell, so I'm going to do whatever kind of craziness I want. If that craziness is something you desire, then be crazy. But just know, there's what for your actions, Brother Minister?
There are consequences.
So again, I just want people to understand that if you've given up on church, I'm not going to applaud you, but I'm saying I understand. In fact, I would probably say the same thing to you. But don't, when you give up on church, don't think you've given up on life, because your life actually is really, really just starting for you, because you understand part of that nonsense that you've been fed throughout your life, that whole fallacy of, I have to be in church all day, I got to pay homage to a minister who's telling me what I could read already. Once you break away from that, then you are breaking away actually into the knowledge of self.
And that is what is important. Do you know that religion is a hindrance to getting to truly know God, because they're already giving you these preconceived notions that they're implanting into your brain to stop you from really making that direct contact. So because of the fact that religion is a hindrance, that still does not stop. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do that you won't get to where you think you're where you want to go. There is nothing you can do that can stop that. Nothing. Even taking your own life. Taking your own life, you know what that does? That just gets you there a whole lot quicker. That's all it does. And I'm not advocating that anyone take their life. I just use that as a drastic measure to let you know that there is nothing you can do to miss the mark because of who you are. And when you come to know who you are, then you can better understand it. This is one of the reasons why it was okay with Jesus. The power that Jesus had, if he truly, truly, truly wasn't ready to go, he wouldn't have went anywhere. But he knew from whence where he was going. So it was okay with him. But because we can't understand that, because once again, we're too fixated on this body, this temple that houses the Spirit of God. And that is who we are, that Spirit that is within us. That is who we are. That is our essence. This body is just a temple. If you want to break it down, it's a suitcase that carries the Spirit. And when you have the suitcase, it's not about the suitcase. It's what's in the suitcase. You go on an airplane trip and they lose your luggage. You ain't as upset if all of your stuff get there. You're not worried about the suitcase if all your clothes get there. And this is where we've got to stop looking at ourselves in the physical aspect and get more into the spiritual aspect. God is not a man. God is a spirit. So how do you worship him? You worship him in spirit and in truth. And truth is speaking your truth. Speaking your truth. And that truth is by getting in touch with who you are. And when you get in touch with who you are, the things that you think is your truth, and telling people off and stuff of that nature, that's not your truth. Your truth is to bring love, kindness, and understanding. And sometimes you might have to be a little rough with some people, but it's still, it's how you, it's not, sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Because you can read somebody to riot at, but if you read it to them in love, it has a whole different perspective. And then you can tell somebody some stuff in love, but in the way that you present it, it's not received that way. So many times we think, I got to tell this person, I got to get this off my mind, I got to, and you might need to tell them, but you have to think about how you do it. Because once again, there are, for every action, there is a reaction. So we have to be mindful of this stuff and walk in the grace and the beauty of who we really are. And we really need to think more highly of ourselves in the godly manner instead of the physical manner. And when we begin to do that,
again, that's very important that we do that. And in order to do that, again, we've got to shake the shackles that hold us down. And again, one of those shackles is that thing they call organized religion. Come on in here. Let me tell you what God wants. Well, why can't God tell me? In fact, God has already told me. And how come he told you and he didn't tell me? What are you, special? You got a special problem with God. You know what I'm saying? When you just stop and look at it, again, I go back, you know, to the name of the song, I'm Blessed. I'm blessed. Again, my blessings flow because I realize that I am I have a special kinship with God, and he's not going to allow me to fail. This is what I believe. At whatever it is I undertake, and again, I like to say whatever it is, because I'm pretty certain that the Creator inside of me understands at this point in my life, the things that I look to undertake or the things that I look to do are things that are going to be pleasing to him. Now, again, at 21, 22, it might not have that same statement coming up, but at 59, the things that I look to do, the service that I give to people. In fact, I'm going to skip subject just for a quick minute. I had a conversation with a young lady tonight who's looking for me to represent her in a case. Now, can I take on another case? Of course I can't, man. I mean, my days are strapped tight. But when she talked to me, all I heard was, okay, I can take this case also. I understand, and I believe, here's what I believe that I've been given a gift, and that gift is to represent and take care of people, and I have to use that gift. If that gift means I have to give up some extra things that I'm doing to fulfill that gift, I don't know. I feel like it's a calling of mine, and if I was to not do it, I feel like I would be doing myself a disservice. So, again, that's going back to my blessing. I understand and I truly believe that God has blessed me with a special set of skills that allows me to do that for people. And if I don't use that skill, I can't not use that skill, because if God knew I wasn't going to use it, he would have never gave it to me. So I have to use it. Does that make sense, brother?
It makes good sense, and that's applicable to each and every one of us. It's just a question of when. It's just a question of when. And I say that because that same gift that you had it since birth. You would use it periodically here and there whenever you so see fit. But now it's just a burning desire that has come up in you, and now you can't but do it. And one of the things we have to understand is when we apply ourselves to that gift, all the things that we wanted, we'll find out that we don't really want anything now but to do that, because that is what brings us joy. Then all of these other things that we thought we wanted at one time or another, those things become readily available to you. And I'm talking about the big homes and the houses and the cars, the travel, the money. All of that just comes to you. It flows. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. And the kingdom is getting to know the God in you. Seek ye first that. And when you get that, it says all other things will be added. Let me get that applause thing. Because that is very profound. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. But that's once again the misinterpretation of the scripture, not understanding. He's telling us that all other things will be added. It's when we sit back and just all we can do is just like begging for something. When we're begging for something, what we're saying technically is that God is not God, and what we're begging for, we can't have. So what you're doing now is you're once again limiting God. But when you start to claim it and walk in the faith, that was a word for me, all right? That was for me. As I was saying, it was coming to me. This was for you, all right? And when we start walking in the faith knowing it, then it comes so easily. And I say that, and I'll go right back to you. To a certain degree, you almost acting as a, I won't say a lawyer, I'll say a paralegal. That's what you're acting as now. And I know you all my life. When you went to school for anything like that?
Well, no, what's this? I took 2 years at junior college in law now. Those were just lectures I was taking because they were interesting classes. I never knew that. And again, I don't know. I've dabbled in that as an extra course in college for about a year and a half, 2 years. But I never knew that it would go to the extent that it's going right now. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing again. What I'm trying to get in connection, direct connect with God is about is guide my time management so I can do all these things that you would have me to do. That's what I work on now. Again, and you know what? You ever remember that old quote that we used to say? If you open your mouth, God will speak for you.
That's right.
I got to tell you, man, when I was sitting up in that trial last week, with an individual, again, when it was over, and I got to write my closing argument next week, but a lot of things took place in that room that just let me know, undoubtedly, that God is in me. Because some of those things I said, some of those points I made, I don't know where it came from, but it came. And I own it.
Oh, you know where it came from.
Oh, I know where it came from.
You know where, yes, okay, great.
I know where it came from.
But it surprised you the fact that it did come, mm-hmm. even though he said it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But once it started coming out, you mm-hmm. within yourself, you probably say, look at God. Huh? Because this is how it is. These words that I speak, these words aren't all mine. I didn't go to no school and study all of this stuff. This is the Spirit revealing stuff to us. And as I like to say to Sister Carmen, there is nothing that we don't know. We know everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. We just have to bring it back to our remembrance. Why do we know it all? Because of who we are. And the way these words flow out through you is because of who you are. You created the law. You know it. You just have to bring it. And I know this to some people might say, oh, this brother on some other stuff. But I'm just trying to let us know in reality just how powerful and how awesome we truly are when we connect to the source.
All right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awesome God that we serve, and it's an awesome God that we on the podcast messenger try to introduce everybody to. In other words, I should meet you and say, hello, let me introduce mm-hmm. you to yourself.
Hello, that's right. That is correct. Introduce you to yourself.
Already here.
Oh, that's right. And it's in you all the time. And I'll say this as well too. One of the things we have to understand is a lot of times when we say these things to certain people and stuff, they might look at us crazy, but the spirit knows the spirit, and it's something inside of them. They may not let you know right this second, but it's something that you said is going to make them want to know just a little bit more, and they may not want to get it from you, but they will search, and they will be a little bit more attentive to certain things that are going on around them. And that's why one of the things that you like to say is that this ministry is going to go on forever, and it is going to go on forever. It might not be on the podcast, but it's going to go on forever because it's all it is. And then the sooner we understand that this is all it is, it is no more. All this other stuff is just stuff that we're making up in our minds to think that it's something different, but it isn't. All things. Every message I say this, and this is so important for us to understand. All things work together for the good. And now all of us, we don't have doctor's degrees. We don't have all of these masters and all of these different degrees, but we do know what all means. We know what the word all means. And all things are working together for the good. We just got to stop looking at everything as being so bad, even though the things that we look at as being bad a lot of times turn out to be good for us. But we already labeled it bad. We already labeled it bad. And it's not bad. How many times we wanted to get a car and something happened and we didn't get that car, but it turned out we got an even better car? All things working together for the good. We wanted to get that house. We didn't get that house, but turned out and got an even better house.
I think
we wanted to get
that
girl or that guy.
Huh? When we understand all things work for the good, when we truly embrace that, again, you will look at situations, and you're right. Again, it all works for the good. It's funny when you say that at first, but every situation, and I mean every situation, nothing is always bad or always good. What is good to you, at some point, you just got a promotion. You are happy. Well, somebody else put in for that job also. So
that's right.
Every situation, there's going to be an imbalance or a balancing act of who is it good to and who is it not so good to.
Under that concept that you just spoke about, my brother, this is why we have to come to understand that God is not sitting there watching you or I to determine whether we did good or bad. Because all things are working together for the good. And this is one of the misconceptions that religion likes to bring upon you, that God has judgment on people. And he doesn't. Because there, in God's eyesight, there is no right or wrong. Why? Because it's all working together for him. So to God, there is no right or wrong. You going to church Sunday morning or not going to church Sunday morning is not a right or wrong to God.
And again, we have to understand that. And again, we have to come into the knowledge of again who we are. So some of these things that we that seem to stress and trouble us, there's really no need for it, man, because it's all working for the good.
Jesus even said, "Lay away those things that so easily beset you. Let those things go that you thinking right or wrong. Let that stuff go. Just worship God." And when he says worship, what he means by that is worship is come to know who you are. Because God don't need our worship. Why is God worshiping himself? We give thanks. That's all. We should always just have a praise of gratitude. Everything should be of gratitude, realizing, once again, that everything is working together for the good. So we should just be giving thanks. Lord, I thank you for getting me up this morning. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to have this breakfast this morning. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this new house that you're going to get me. I don't see it just yet, but I know it's on the way. It's on its way. I thank you each and every day. I thank you because I know that it's coming. And when you really get to the point that you know, it has no choice but to be there. But a lot of times what we do, and I'm speaking to myself again, is we waver in that. Lord, I know it's coming, but I need it to be here right now. And then when it's not here right now, then our faith gets a little weak. And we've got to stand in the boldness of knowing that you know that it's going to happen. And that's not just with a little thing. It's with everything. Because once again, all things are working together for the good. And when we come to truly understand and believe this, and not believe it, but know it, then we're going to see our lives shoot off into unknown unlimitedness because of who we are. And when they said pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive, and that's just what it'll be because it'll just start coming from everywhere. Don't even expect it. And when you're not expecting it, that's when it comes. When you're doing something out of goodness of your heart, not expecting anything in return. And you got to remember, you got to know this. You can't fool God. You can't, once again, pay your tithes and think, I'm not doing this for nothing in return, but all the while knowing you hoping for something else in return. You can't fool God. But when
try.
You truly give, yeah, we try it all the time. And that's what I meant by a lot of times. We limit who God really is because we think we're smarter than God. We think we know more than God.
But when we realize that, again, you can't be smarter than the Creator, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you study, the master will always be the master.
He knows everything. He created everything. So how can he not know? And you only know what he know. You don't know any more than he know. You can't. It's just impossible. So you can't be smarter than him. You can be as smart as him, but you can't be smarter than him. Because he created it.
Yep. And a lot of people will hear you say, you know, it's so funny because when you first get introduced to the message, you're looking for ways to shoot it down and convince yourself that it's nonsense. So when you hear things like, we are as smart as God, God is within us, God rules, and we rule, God rules through us, people look at that as, okay, these jokers right here, they don't know what they're talking about. But I assure you, we know exactly what we're talking about. And all it takes from you is just a little time. And again, you don't have to do anything. Here's a ministry that gets you close to God and eliminates a lot of things you do that you think you have to do. So actually, the ministry makes your life less complex.
And that's the problem, brother. That is the problem.
That's the problem.
Because everybody thinks that it's something that they need to be doing to please God. And so because they think, right, exactly, it's something that they need to be doing. And if they ain't doing it, then they're not pleasing God. So they make it so. They just can't accept the fact that God is so gracious and so merciful and so loving that he set this all in motion where we cannot fail. But we rather believe that we can fail. Why would God create something for his own self to fail in?
Because, again, not believe in the connection between them and God.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Would have that issue.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, you're 100% correct. And that's why we've got to let go of that. We've got to let go of that mentality, thinking God to be less than what God really is. And God is love. God is light. Life.
Well, go ahead, brother.
For those atheists that don't believe in God, you believe in life. So you can replace the word God with life, and it's still the same.
Hmm.
Think about the things that you say with regards to God, and instead of saying God, say life, and see if there's any difference.
Well, we're about at the 3 minute 30-second mark before we end this podcast, and I want to say to the audience who hears the podcast, tomorrow night, I think we're going to come up with tomorrow night 11:00 we're live again. I think we're going to dedicate tomorrow's topic to how do I begin to let go.
Right.
So how do I begin to let go? So again, as we start to build on this ministry, again, it's important for me to share this with you. I'm not forcing it on you, even though I'm giving it to you 3 days a week. but I'm not forcing it on you. But I'm going to keep it there. And again, if the podcast goes out and goes out to nobody but Nurse Carmen, the messenger, and Hodge the Hodge, then I want you to know I'm satisfied. I'm truly satisfied.
Amen.
All right, so as we get ready to shut it down tonight, let's go ahead.
Let me just say this real quick, bro, what you just said, if it just go out to the three, I'd like to just give Nurse Carmen a minute, all right, because of her listening to the message and God starting to talk into her life. And tell just a quick example of experience you had with the young man at the church that you go to on Thursday night, the one that was an atheist.
Right. He said on Thursday that he wasn't feeling well, and he didn't want to go to – it's a free dinner that we offer to the public and just to come to hear a word. And he said wasn't feeling well, and he wasn't going to come. But knowing he was going to get a meal, he came. And he said, and I was just sitting there. I arrived late, which wasn't a bad thing. I was just sitting there thinking I really shouldn't have come. I wasn't going to come. I should have stayed home. And I came in, and I sat next to him, and I greeted him. And he said that it was something about me that gave him a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. He said, I almost didn't come on. God, I came. And I gave him, we were talking about something that we're all taught in reference to God. And I gave him another angle, another way to look at it. And he was telling me, thanking me that he came and that I came and sat down next to him and blah, blah, blah. But he said I gave him food for thought, something to think about. I didn't think about it that way, the way it was being said. He only thought about the way it was said. And when I gave him another angle to look at it, he felt differently. And he was just thanking me that he came. But that's the God in me.
So, right.
Yes.
All right.
God in
all right.
Me.
That's right. It ain't just in me.
He's coming out of me. That was a God in me.
That's mm-hmm. it. You know, again, as we hear it, we share it. But we're out of time for tonight. We'll pick up tomorrow with how to let go.
Good night, guys. I love you guys.
Love you, bless you, and I look forward to another message tomorrow. Bless you all.
Amen.
When I see Jesus, hey.